You are witnesses of these things. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome. The eyes of resurrection are different than other eyes. And the eyes of resurrection looked back at the great stories of the Bible, of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew people, and understood them differently. Creation became a story of the cycle of life and death and rebirth, as the seed dies and goes into the ground and brings forth new life. The calling of Abraham and Sarah to be the people of God was about a new kind of fertility. They were unable to bear children, and the blessing of God in that sense gave them new life. And the Christians understood that new life through resurrection. The calling of Israel through the Red Sea waters, which we will mention in just a moment when we baptize Avery, is again a story of life and rebirth through these holy waters of baptism. The giving of the law was no longer a law set in stone, static, and unmoving, but a place of movement and life and love and mercy. And that the new law would be written in our hearts in the presence of Christ in our daily living. The whole story of salvation history through the course of the Old Testament was understood and reinterpreted by the resurrection. There is a conversation to be had about the Jesus before the resurrection and the Jesus after it. Is there a difference between the two? Is there a difference between the historical Jesus who walked the earth as one of us and the resurrected Christ raised from the dead in a new life, in a new body, immortal? The same Christ to whom we pray today. The short answer about that is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There cannot be that much of a difference between the two. God, perfectly human, perfectly man, doesn't change according to customs of the body. Life or death are irrelevant to the Savior Christ, who shows us the pathway through death into new life. Irrelevant is the wrong word. I only have to edit myself as I speak because John's recording it and it goes on the internet, and then people who don't like me let me know what heresy I proclaimed on any given Sunday. But it is true and faithful to say that the Christ of the resurrection is different in the way in which the teachings and the life is different. The Jesus of Nazareth, who does the miracles and the healings, who does the sermons, who does the walking on water and the water into wine, the focus of Jesus' proclamation is thoroughly different after the resurrection. And it is thoroughly different in the sense that Jesus directs us to be witnesses. And it's all about turning over the plans and the design and the effort to the disciples. Jesus simply says to them, go. Go to Galilee. I'll meet you there, and I'll teach you to tell everyone to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the story we heard today in Luke's Gospel, Jesus, just before the portion we read today, Jesus is known to the disciples in the breaking of the bread. He's walking along the road with them, you know, in the beginning. These are a couple of disciples who are afraid. Jesus has been crucified. They heard a rumor that he was raised from the dead, but they weren't sure, and they were going to Emmaus. It's kind of like walking to White House Station, a podunk little town outside the center of things. Not that there's anything wrong with White House Station. They're on the road. And Jesus explains the scriptures to them through resurrection eyes. They're not sure they get it, and there's no surprise they don't. All of us have been through a moment of grief in our life, and that moment has blinded us to the realities around us in that given time. We have been overcome by our feelings and our well of emotion, and those who would care for us and love us and be kind to us and move us along, we almost sometimes barely recognize. Only after do we realize the hand of God was in that moment when we were either in pain or discomfort or trouble. And not just grief. You know, the disciples, things didn't work out the way they thought. And that's what happens to people. Things don't work out the way you plan. They don't work out with the people you love, they don't work out with the job you have, they don't work out with the family into which you were born or the family to which you chose. They often don't work out with our bodies, the way they fail us. They often don't work out with our careers. Things never quite go as planned. And in those changes and transitions, sometimes we're feeling overwhelmed and somewhat insulated or separated from the love that is offered to us and kindness given to us, so we don't quite see it. And there, in that night in the room in Emmaus at the inn, Jesus breaks bread with them and he is revealed. In the common everyday moment, Jesus is revealed. The waters, common and everyday, the most plentiful thing on this planet, I suppose, after carbon, is H2O. The common everyday is what's used to wash us, as we will wash Avery, with this effort and plentiful nature of God's grace. The bread, the common thing across all humanity, taking some grain and mashing it up and adding some water and throwing it on a hot rock, and you have some kind of bread. The most common everyday. And in the common and everyday is exactly where Jesus is to be found. Not the extraordinary anymore. The Jesus of the resurrected reality isn't walking on water, isn't turning water into wine. He's eating some fish on the fire. He's breaking bread with his disciples. And this is where the faith of Christ is known, and we are to carry it forth. You and I are witnesses of these things in our life, and we are to surround those people whose life is not working out as planned to be with them, even though they might not see Christ in us in the moment. We are there so when they look back, they can know. You know, in the waters of baptism, we say that we are raised with Christ in newness of life. We have a certificate in our custom in our parish that not just the priest signs it, but everyone signs the back. And so we pass around because you are witnesses of these things. You are a testament that Avery Ray has died with Christ and is raised with Christ. So everyone will sign this going around, our guests and everyone included. The choir got a head start. We are going to be witnesses so that when Avery turns 3, and she asks the most important life question for her at that time, what is God's favorite flavor of ice cream? Her parents and godparents, who are steeped in the life of Christ, or who will continue to be, will be able to say to Avery wisely as her parents, "Well, what flavor do you think it is?" And Avery will say, "Well, I think all the flavors God likes." And Joel and Lauren will be amazed at the profound spiritual wisdom of their daughter. Because all children have a greater wisdom than we adults. And when Avery turns 7 and comes home from school and someone yelled at her or was cruel at her, and she asks her parents, "Why did this happen?" Lauren and Joel will be able to say, "You know, this happened to me too. And I was able to forgive a person. Do you know what forgiveness is? Do you know what anger is? And you've been in Sunday school, so you know what Jesus says about that." And when Avery turns 13, and Mom and Dad have to have that conversation with her, and she says, "Mom, why do I feel this way? What's wrong with my body?" Joel and Lauren will be able to say, "Nothing. Your body is exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because you were created in the image of God. And you are loved beyond your knowing. And it doesn't matter what happens to your body and what changes happen to you and how you feel about it. That's why." And when she turns 18, and she's made a couple of big mistakes and is feeling guilty and doesn't want to tell her parents will know, like Jesus did, that they'll be able to listen and be quiet. because the role of a Christian parent when a child turns 18 is not to say anything anymore, but to learn how to listen and just be present and be accepting and gracious. Because you've done the work before it's 18 by being present to them. And when she has to make the biggest decision of her life and pick which college she's going to go to, and she'll pick the one with the biggest scholarship, because that's the only one that makes sense. Lauren and Joel will be very pleased about that. Because she'll know about stewardship and responsibility. And when she comes back from college, she asks, you know, people don't believe the way we do. Why is that? Mom and Dad will be able to say, well, why do you think it is? Let's take a look at the nature of who Jesus is. Maybe Jesus might have something to say about the people who are from other flocks, but they also might be called. So there may be one shepherd and one sheep. And when Mom and Dad get sick or have a career crisis or have a challenge in the marriage, Avery's going to go, what's going on with you guys? And they're going to be able to say, you know, sometimes we forget how much Jesus loves us. Sometimes we think we're alone, and we don't do the right thing always. But sooner or later, we'll come back. And we always love you because Jesus did. And later on, Avery's got to make a choice about her career, and she says, what does it mean? Why am I here? And Mom and Dad are going to be able to say to her, you have a purpose. You have a purpose to serve other people and love other people as the way God has loved you. You have a purpose to treat other people the way you wish to be treated. Now, just because they don't think that, you do. Because you're different. You're baptized. And when Mom and Dad get really old, and everybody's wondering, well, I think I might want to get married. What do you think about that? Mom and Dad are going to say, well, please introduce this person to us. Because we need to make space for who this person is to whom your heart has chosen. Because the love of God knows no bounds, and we're going to, even if we think they're a complete jerk, we're going to find room for them in my life, just the way Lauren's family found room for you. And you'll understand that that marriage ceremony that's going to take place is in white garments, just like the garment she's in now. That this is an identity, an issue of change, a way in which we're called into new life through Christ. And so marriage becomes the same way. It becomes an element of the miniature version of church in the relationship two people have together, whoever they happen to be. And then later on, there's going to be a time when you're going to get sick and you are going to die. And Avery is going to weep at your funeral. But she is not going to sorrow without hope. And her question, why did this happen, is going to be answered for her in time by a community of faith that surrounds Avery, even though she can't feel it, because she will be so overwhelmed by her feelings. But the consistency and constancy of the community of faith across the decades and years of her life will give her a place to deal with the most profound mysteries that come to a human being. This is what we're doing today. This is what baptism is. It is the establishment of a citizen in the kingdom of God. And we become that community that stays with her day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. We commit to be a place that embraces mystery, that loves unconditionally, that studies and works hard, and embraces when we are struggling. And is so consistent that at the end of the struggle, when you come out on the other side, you are redeemed and as whole and stronger than you were than you went in. And you can brag about your scars. That's the Christian. That's baptism. That's the vastness of the moment we do around this little thing of water. Common, everyday water. And then we feast with common, everyday bread and wine. Because she will know that in the common, God is.